You for faith. Thank you for what she's prepared in our heart and what you've given her, Lord. We ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, would you open our minds, our spirits, our dream lives, Lord, to be more attentive to you, Lord, as you speak to us in the quiet moments of our subconscious, Lord, and that the important area of our subconscious, Lord, that our subconscious mind and spirit will be in tune and in one, Lord. Mm. Ask you to bless this word to us in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.
Amen. Wow, good evening everybody. I'm going to read a few verses from the book of Acts that you know so well, but which is the inspiration for this evening, okay? So now, let me get it open, here it is. Acts in chapter 2, and we begin to read at verse 14, here it is. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk. He was talking about the people, who the disciples, who were just staggering around under the power of the Spirit of God. These are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall come to pass, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now there's some wonderful verses that follow that as Peter applied it all to Jesus and his death and his resurrection. But he's talking there about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which happened on the day of Pentecost. This is the record of the day of Pentecost, when the disciples heard this mighty rushing wind that filled all the house. And then the Spirit of God rested on each of them. And isn't it wonderful that we're told that our sons and daughters, that is men and women, young men, old men, young women, old women, will prophesy, and the children too, I pray, that children also may catch the Spirit of Jesus, and that they will hear from God and speak words from God. And part of that is dreams, as we're told, dreams and visions. Visions are those things we suddenly see in our spirit. Sometimes when people say, oh, I had a picture, sometimes they mean I had a clear vision. Sometimes they mean in my mind something was forming in the form of a picture. Okay, a vision, a vision to be precise, is more where something flashes in front of you and you know you've seen something in the spirit. But a lot of us also might have ways in which the prophetic word comes to us as a picture. So those are visions. But in the night, when visions come to us in the night, they usually come in the form of dreams, and we dream. And that's what we're going to think a bit about tonight, perhaps both of those things. But we're going to think about the dreams that we have. So last summer, or rather only a few months ago at Revive, I did a seminar with Debbie on interpreting dreams, because it's something, I suppose, I've always been a dreamer myself. And by that, I don't mean I dream every night. Far from it. I sometimes have dreams about once every 2 years or once every year. That is, I'm sure I have dreams, but I don't remember them. But every now and then God gives me a dream, or I have a dream, which I vividly remember. And we're going to talk about where those dreams come from, because oftentimes God wants to speak through our dreams. He wants to hear what we're saying. So while I was giving this seminar, I was a little bit bold, but the Lord worked it out wonderfully, because I was actually interpreting the dreams at the end of the seminar publicly. For the first, I think we took about four or five, We let the person share them publicly, and then we interpreted them. And then after that, other people came to us privately. I'm going to tell you about one of those who came privately for the moment, because she was a woman, I didn't know her, but she came to tell me that she had a daughter and son-in-law living in France. I don't know if they all lived there. They always lived there, where they were there for a while. But anyway, and she said, just a couple of months, or about a month or so earlier, do you remember that terrible massacre happened on Bastille Day in France, where somebody got this huge truck and just drove it into the crowds of people who were celebrating Bastille Day deliberately to try and kill as many people as possible? It was a terrorist attack, and it was absolutely terrible. Well, she said to me, do you remember that awful Bastille Day massacre? And I said, oh, yes, because it hadn't happened long before. And she said, well, I just wanted to tell you that my daughter was away at that time with her work, and her husband had told her and me that he was taking the children to the Bastille Day celebrations. Of course, they knew nothing about any terrorist plots on that. And so she said at first she thought, oh, that's interesting. And she looked up where they were going, and she thought, okay. And she thought, well, I can pray for them anyway. She's a godly woman. She said she had a dream that night that she was there in those celebrations, but there was terrible disorder and people running to and fro in fear and terror. And there was a lot of things happening. She didn't know what was happening, but she knew there was something dreadful that people were running from. And she woke up and she thought, what was that dream? But she's a very committed person to prayer. And so she told me that after a lot of prayer, she contacted her son-in-law, who wasn't kind of so open to those things as even her daughter might have been. But she rang him and she said, I feel I need to say something to you. I've got to warn you about something. And he said, oh, yes. And she said, I said to him, I know you already think you have a crazy mother-in-law, but this is really important. And she said, I had a dream. It wasn't explicit, but she said, I felt that something bad was there at those celebrations. And she said, I'm just asking you, please don't go and take the children. And he was a bit shocked at first because they'd planned to go. And eventually, though, he realized she was so real about it, he said, all right, we won't go. And they didn't go, and then all those terrible things happened. Now, we don't know whether they would have been caught up in it anyway, but she said to me, I don't often get dreams like that, but I did feel it was a warning from God that he shouldn't go there. And they went somewhere else to celebrate their day of holidays. So sometimes God can give those kind of dreams, can't he? And then another one who volunteered to share his dream was a Link Church leader. And he's, he's a person who prays as well. And he said, well, I had this dream a night or two ago. And he said, I dreamt that I was somewhere in this kind of open place. He said, I think it was probably revived, but I'm not sure. He said, it was kind of in an open place. But the awful thing is, some people had taken captive a group of young people. And they were they'd got them locked up in a kind of hut thing, not far from where I was standing. And he said, and I thought, my goodness, these young people are in terrible danger, he said, and some children came running along, and I thought, don't let them go there. And he said, so I said to them, go that way. And he said the children swerved away and they went in another direction. And he said, but then I saw that the situation was getting really dangerous, and they actually called in the SAS. And he said the SAS came in, and they'd got, I don't know if they would have been hand grenades, but they were things that explode very loudly and with smoke there. And they started to toss them at the hut to try to scare out and flush out the people. And he said, when they were doing that, I thought, oh my goodness, they're going to have hearing loss because these things explode so loudly. And he said, but at least I thought, their lives would be saved. And he said, and then I woke up. And so he said, what do you think that was about? And he was shared this publicly. And so I thought for a minute, because I feel God is often really there. And then I said, okay, shall I tell you what I think that is? I said, you are a prayer. I already know that. And I said, I think you've had some concern for the young people and perhaps also the children at Revive. And I think you've had concern for the youth because you think the music is too loud in their venue and it's probably damaging their ears. And he looked at me and his wife said, yes. And so I said, so the SAS, because of course those of you who go to Revive know that what is the youth program called? SAS, right. And so he thought it was the SAS that come in with the, you know, their military precision. Well, we hope they're not. And so what he was actually seeing in his dream was that he had a concern that perhaps the young people's leaders were maybe keeping the music too loud and damaging the ears of the youth. So many adults at Revive think that's probably true. So many adults at Revive are probably right, but probably just as, and I said, but in your dream, you're reasoning to yourself, at least they're saved. And so they're getting saved. That is the most important. And anyway, of course, it brought the house down because everybody thought that was extremely funny, that he thought this was a real warning, dangerous dream. Well, it might have been about the acoustics, but it was actually something that was in him. And I said, and you guided the children. I said, because, you know, you are a prayer. I know that. And I said, so keep on praying for the youth and for the children. Keep praying they find salvation and that their ears don't get damaged by all the loud music. Okay, as well. But anyway, we had those things. We had a number of other people share dreams, but I thought I'd pick out those too. Sometimes there is real warning, like in that first dream, it was a real warning from God that this woman, because again, she was a praying person, it was listening to God and felt she needed to share, and God therefore used that to protect her family. In that second one, it was a way of showing this man what he should be praying about and how he should pray. And again, it's very relevant for someone who is a servant of God and who wants to pray for others. So, dreams about guidance. You know, we're coming up to Christmas, aren't we? And I did think about reading, but you're going sure to have it at some point over the Christmas. We're reading how the wise men were guided, weren't they? They were guided by the star. But also, once they had seen the baby, they were warned by God that they should not return to Herod because he was out to kill. And so they were warned by God and they went home a different way. Then shortly after, God appeared in a dream to Joseph and said to Joseph, arise and take Mary and the baby and escape into Egypt because Herod is out to kill the babe. And so Joseph's a wonderful guy in the Bible, isn't he? Well, perhaps some of you wouldn't. If you don't like a very silent husband, you probably wouldn't, women. But he is somebody you don't actually hear him talking at all. He doesn't say a lot, or if anything at all, in the scriptures, but he's listening to God all the time because he's open enough to be guided. And when he hears from God, he moves and he acts. So you see, God spoke to Joseph, didn't he, about the fact that Mary was with child from the Holy Spirit. And then also he guided his family into places of safety. So that's a pretty good person, isn't it? Listening to God and being able to guide his family aright. So in the Christmas story, there are dreams there, and also throughout the Bible, you know, I decided not to go through all the biblical examples because you probably know them, but there are lots of dreams in the Bible recorded where God speaks to people, sometimes warning them about what's going to happen, sometimes to guide them. You remember even in the Apostle Paul when he was traveling in his missionary journeys and he came to a sort of full stop because God wouldn't let him go into one area of the geography and nor into another area. And so eventually he came to the coast and he wasn't sure what he was supposed to do then. And you remember he had a dream in which a young man from Macedonia stood before him and said, come over to Macedonia and help us. And he shared that dream with his team, and they all concluded that God had called them to go there. And he sent this dream of this young man appealing to Paul to come there. And they went over to Macedonia, and they saw wonderful conversions and church planting and so on. So that was another way that the Apostle Paul was guided through a dream. Actually, centuries later, the patron saint of Ireland is Patrick, isn't it, St. Patrick? But when Patrick was a young man, he was kidnapped, you probably know it, by raiders coming over from Ireland. He lived on the west coast of Britain with his family, and they were Christians, they were Celtic Christians. But the whole village got sacked, and loads of the men were murdered. And this young man, he was 15 at the time, he got captured and taken over as a slave. And for 6 years, Patrick was in Ireland as a slave to a wealthy landowner. But during that time, he began to get to know God. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I always think he must have had really praying parents, because he didn't just sit and get fed up and resentful and angry and what's happening. He was often out on the fields on his own, looking after sheep, hungry and cold. And he said, but during that time, the Spirit of God so moved in him. So, and he actually said, the Spirit seethed within me in those days. You know, like a boiling saucepan of water seethes. The Spirit seethed within me. And he began to hear God speaking. And eventually, after those 6 years, God said to him, you are to go now. You are to escape. And he told him to go to a certain place that was a port. And Patrick went there. He found his way there. And he was told that he would find a ship that would take him away from Ireland. He found a French ship, and he managed to persuade the captain to let him be a stowaway. He got on board there, and he went to France, and he entered a monastery and stayed in the monastery for years. But it was years later when he said that he had a dream. He'd gone back to his hometown to see if there was anything left. We don't know what was left, but not much. But he said when he was there, he had a vivid dream, and he saw boats coming from Ireland, and some people got out. And he said this man started to unroll a scroll, and he began to speak in the dream. But then at that point, he could hear all these voices calling out, and they were Irish voices, and they were saying, "Holy boy, come over again and walk among us again." And he woke up with this very vivid dream, and just like the Apostle Paul, he concluded that God was calling him to go to Ireland. And he managed to persuade, it's a long story, I won't go into all of it, but he managed to persuade the monastery he was in to send him as their apostle to Ireland, and that's how Patrick went there. But he went there finally because of a dream, which he believed was so much from God. So sometimes dreams can interrupt the flow of our lives and speak to us. So often, I think, we are not ready to listen to God. That's a lot of the problem, isn't it? That's why I think sometimes we'll have a dream, and even if it is saying something, we don't always pick it up, because we haven't got our ears attuned to the Lord. Whereas when we keep telling the Lord, as we're worshiping, "Lord, I do want to hear you, Lord. I want to see your face. I want to hear your voice." Because the Lord wants us to have that kind of relationship with him. So we know that dreams sometimes guide us as well. Now, sometimes, the Word of God in Jeremiah 23, 25 to 27 warns us against false dreams. It says there will people come and say, "I had a dream about this, we've all got to do that," and it's false. It's not of God. In other words, it is entirely possible to have somebody stand up and share a dream and it's not from God at all. It may even be from the enemy. We know of a church that was completely destroyed by this process. In other words, it was destroyed in the sense that it was totally scattered. Because there was a man there he seemed very prophetic because he believed in the realm of the spirit and would speak out, but he didn't have a clean spirit. And therefore he was speaking out stuff which was not of God, and it got worse and worse. And eventually it destroyed relationships, destroyed the pastor's marriage, destroyed in all sorts of ways, and the church broke up because people were listening to a so-called prophet who had dreams, but the dreams were not from God. And Jeremiah warns us that you can have people come and share dreams that are not from God. We occasionally you have that on a sort of less drastic level. I was once at home, and I was praying with someone who had a lot of demonic oppression in their life. And I realized that slowly. I'd seen them once or twice already. And I was listening and praying and starting, just about to move into real prayer. And my doorbell rang. Roger wasn't at home at that point. And I went to the door, and there was a house group leader from one of the congregations with a young woman with her. And the young woman was somebody I just recognized, but I didn't really know her. She was from that congregation. So I said, I'm really sorry, but I'm really tied up at the moment. And they said, it'll only take 2 minutes. Could we just come in? And because the house group leader was with her, I said, okay, just 2 minutes. We went into another room. And then the house group leader said, this young woman, she has wonderful prophetic dreams and she sees things from God. And I said, okay, she had this dream about you, which is a warning. And in this woman then shared, this young woman shared a picture she'd had in which she saw me be struck down with a serious illness and become really ill and needing an operation and so on. So I'm listening to this, and I have to tell you guys, because I'm very honest, I was thinking, oh, did I need this, Lord, right in the middle of this other thing? Because that's how you feel when those things come, because you know it's not God. I knew that wasn't God. So I then listened politely for the sake of the house group leader who brought her. I made a mental note, I need to talk to that house group leader later and tell her that's the last thing you do when you have this. But anyway, I listened politely and I thanked this young woman because she was a new Christian, you see, and I thanked her very much for coming and sharing. And I would bear it in mind and pray about it and so on, showed them the door. I do remember that I went to the phone, she won't remember, I went to the phone and phoned Anne Farrow and said, look, Anne, I haven't got very long, but I'm in the middle of a ministry thing and I've just had a really unhelpful thing come in, please pray. And she did. That was really helpful. So I went back and thought, well, at least I've got another person I'm in agreement with. But then I prayed about it and I didn't feel it was from God. I felt I had to resist it, actually, because, as I'll say in a minute, those things can sow into you like a seed, can't they? Well, anyway, and then, but I prayed for this young woman too, and I said, Lord, how can we help her? Because I'm dismayed if her congregation is actually telling her that this is a good thing to do. Because I gathered in the meanwhile that she'd been invited to share other things more publicly. Because, you know, it was a while since that congregation had had somebody who seemed very prophetic. Do you see what I mean? Just a warning to you all, guys. Okay. Anyway, but I asked the Lord, please help me. If I can in some way get to this without causing pain and hurt. This person isn't in the fellowship now. Her family moved away, so I can say this. But anyway, and then at the following celebration about a month later, I was there, and this young woman came up to me at the end and said, could you please pray for me? And I said, yeah, sure. What's on your heart? She said, I had this dream, and she said, I dreamt that I was developing this terrible disease, and I couldn't walk after a bit, and everything was going wrong, she said, and I think there's been a degree of it in my family, or a few generations back, or a couple of generations back, but she said, I had this dream, and I said, are there any symptoms you've got that you're worried about on a human level? And she said, no, but it was this dream, it was so vivid, that I become really ill, please pray for me. And then I said to her, before we pray into that, let me ask you something. Have you ever been involved in anything occult? Spiritism, palm reading, anything like that at all? And she said, oh yes, my mother was a spiritist. And so yes, we did all that. So I said, has anybody ever prayed with you about that? She said, no. So I said, okay, before we even address this, you know something, if you have opened your life to occult practices, where do those things come from? They come from evil spirits and the enemy. And so what then happens is an evil spirit will latch into you. And even more, if you start to become more of a prophetic person wanting to speak out, the enemy will try to get in. Because he's already got a foothold, hasn't he? He's got a little channel already and he'll come straight through your spiritual life as well and pollute it. Or possibly just drag you away. And I explained this to her. So I said, I'm going to pray this for you. And I asked her to renounce and confess that she'd engaged in these things. Asked her to renounce the occult, the devil and all his works. And she did with me. And then I prayed for her to be fully restored. And then I said to her, I totally reject that dream for you, as I also rejected the dream you gave for me. And I said, we're going to reject them totally. That's just the enemy. Do you know something? If you have those kind of dreams, do you know what the enemy's trying to do? He's trying to get you to accept it. You see, and if you accept it, he's already got a bigger foothold, hasn't he? If you think, oh, I had this awful dream that this terrible thing happened, so obviously it's going to. then you will be vulnerable from that point. So it is very important we close the door to the enemy, because God doesn't work like that. You know, God is your loving Heavenly Father, isn't He? Even if He had to warn you about something, He doesn't do it in a way that makes you think, oh my goodness, I'm going to die tomorrow, you know? He doesn't do it like that any more than your good human father would do. So He doesn't work like that. And we prayed, and God wonderfully set her free. And she became actually for the years she was with us, she became a lovely person, always with thoughtful things that she sought to listen to God over. So her prophetic stream was rescued. But if we hadn't tackled it, then she would have probably gone on being a false prophet and causing problems in the body of Christ. That's why it's so important we know what to do with dreams. Because what we've always said is, if you have a dream about somebody else that is negative, a family member, a church member, somebody you know, if you have a dream that's negative, that is, they're ill or they have an accident or they suddenly die or whatever, do not go to share it with them. Okay? That's, if you remember only that, please remember that. Don't go and share it with them, because because I've got good friends who will pray with me, and because I've had a lot of things I've had to encounter in life, I will be much stronger at throwing it out. But other people often aren't. They take it on board and they start worrying, perhaps this is really going to happen. And then when you are afraid, the enemy finds a route. Do you see? He finds a landing ground. So it doesn't help if your friends share it. A friend of mine some years ago told me that she had a son who was married, and they had a couple of children. And she all got on really well with them, this woman told me. And then she said to me, but then she began to notice that her daughter-in-law didn't seem to want to, she seemed to have got afraid of driving in the car or being driven. And eventually she said to her, is everything all right? Has something happened? And eventually this daughter-in-law told her that in the church the couple were in, somebody had come up to her and said, oh, I had this terrible dream about you and your family last night. I dreamt that you were all in a car crash and you were the only one who walked out alive. Well, that's a blessing, isn't it, to be told that? Let's face it. But you see, what this daughter-in-law of my friend had done is take it in heart and thought, oh, how terrible. And then every time anybody suggested they got in the car, because she didn't want to get in, did she? She was afraid. And fortunately, my friend, when she heard it, she's very strong too, and she said, we absolutely have to reject this. This is from the enemy to make you afraid. And anyway, they dealt with that, and nothing dreadful happened like that. But the point is that, you see, I'm sure this person meant well in the church, didn't she? But it's dangerous. Those of you that know, I'm sure she won't mind me mentioning this, because the incident is in her book, but one of the books by Jennifer Rees-Larkham, telling how she contracted the illness that left her in a wheelchair for some time. She said she was very busy, and it was a Sunday after, she'd done the lunch for all the family. She got several children, and she was busy, and she was buzzing around. And she said, then the telephone rang, and it was a young woman in the church. And this woman, exactly the same again, I had a dream about you. And then she started to say she had this dream that Jennifer became drastically ill and either died or almost died. It was very, very serious. And Jennifer says in her book that she suddenly felt absolutely weak at the knees and had to sit down because of the shock. And when I was reading that, I thought, no wonder she contracted the illness, because she was distracted and busy, just when you're most vulnerable, isn't it? And somebody put something, not meaning to, I'm quite sure the woman who phoned did not mean it, but that's how the enemy gets in, isn't it? I hope you don't mind me telling you these stories, but that's how the enemy gets in. So if you get those kind of things, be alert. We do not receive the enemy, do we? We only receive the Lord. And so we are not going to share with others. We had one day, because I'd been teaching this in the prayer ministry, so a guy called on us first thing in the morning. He was going to work, but he wanted to come and see us first, because he'd had a dream about one of our leaders, that this leader suddenly collapsed with a heart attack. And he said, but I remember what you said. I haven't said anything to anyone, and I'm just coming to share it with you because it worried me. So we prayed with him, And we said, yes, don't say anything to the person. But in a lovely way, in just natural ways, we were able to pray for this guy, the particular leader, who was under a lot of stress at the time, and a lot of things which could perhaps have given rise to a heart problem. He never did, so praise God. You can look at those things as an alert that you should pray for the person. Not necessarily praying, or certainly not praying out of fear, not even praying, oh Lord, don't let them have a heart attack, but rather just praying, I see they're under stress. Probably somewhere his subconscious was picking up the stress here, and also because the guy had a very busy lifestyle. Maybe he wasn't always wise in what he ate as well, you know, all those kind of things. Anyway, he never did have a heart attack, thank you, Lord. But I'm just saying, but at least this guy had taken seriously what we said. I'm grateful for that. He didn't just share it, but he came and shared it with us. So if you have something you can share with if you've got a pastor you can share with that you know won't go and share with the person, because I really do believe that. I think a few people could bear to hear it and push it away, but not many, because the enemy loves to get under the surface, doesn't he? So, there we are. Well, now, let's have a look. Okay, so, in the dreams that I've had over the years, sometimes they have been warning things. Many years ago, before we moved, we were living on the edge of London, and we were going to move, and we thought about moving further into London, to Forest Hill, which is where we are, but we had an offer from some friends to move to the West Country, where they knew somebody who was selling a house. There was lots of good things about it, and it seemed a lot nicer place to live. I hope you don't mind me. You know, we had to have a direct word from God that never mind where it's nicer to live. You're coming to London, and you're staying there. And we've been there ever since, and that's very, very many years. Okay, so we did obey God. But we had this, and so first of all, we began to look into it, like you do, thinking maybe this is a God, and we start to look into it. But at one point then, I had a very vivid dream, and part of it was about somebody following us and with bad intent. And then towards the end of the dream, it was a little bit odd, but I dreamt we were in a confined space, and suddenly the walls started coming in at us. It was only small anyway, a bit like a lift or something, but and the walls started coming in, and I thought, it's going to crush us. And then I just said, Jesus, and woke up. Now, actually, we went up there shortly afterwards, went down to the West Country, that is, to visit this house and have a look at it. And during that time, can't explain all of it, it was to do with a guy backing into a garage. But quite seriously, Roger nearly lost his head because he got caught. You lost it anyway, did you say? Yes. Fine. But what I mean is somebody was backing with a van and was knocking the garage door. It was starting to knock it because it was one of these up and overs. And so Roger was yelling at him. He didn't hear. So Roger put his head around the side, and then this thing came back. Sorry, yes, very sensible, yes. And he janked his head back just in time, but he got rather badly cut ears out of it, so he could have had much worse. And I knew that this was, I said, this, I had a dream about this. I didn't know that's what it was about, but about this. And so we really went to the Lord and asked him, Lord, is that where you want us to be? If it is, we can overcome the enemy. But is this something, it was just our own ideas, you know what I mean, not God. And God really spoke to us, can't go into all the ways, and said, no, I want you in London. So we did. I don't think God sent any of that. He doesn't do that. But I think the Lord knew that the enemy would have really come in if we disobeyed God there. So that was another little exciting dream I had, if you can call it that. I had a dream a year before our son Kristen developed cancer. Those of you who remember our story, Kristen, when he was 15 and a half, was found to have a really serious form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it had gone right through his body. And the medics from Guy's Hospital gave him no chance at all. But a year before, almost exactly a year before, we were actually at Spring Harvest, and I'd had a dream, very vivid dream, that and in the dream I had to walk through. Probably it was like one of their boating lakes, and it was winter and they didn't have any boats on it, but it was mucky old water. I had to wade through this mucky water to help a child out in my dream. And so I helped it out, and I thought, I just felt nervous because you couldn't see anything below the surface. It was very dark water. But anyway, I got this child out, and then suddenly a little black snake went like this through the water, and latched onto my foot. And I scrambled out and lifted up my foot, and there was this little snake hanging from my foot. So I was trying to get it off, but people gathered around me in the dream were staring at me. And then one of them said, "That's a deadly snake. You have to go to hospital." So in my dream, I went to the hospital, and in my dream, I had to wait for a few minutes because the doctor I was seeing was on a telephone, and I had to wait until he finished on the telephone. And then he said to me, "You know, this is a deadly thing. I don't know if we can do anything very much for you," or something like that. Anyway, I woke up. Okay, exactly a year later, we had gone to the doctor with Kristen because he had various chest symptoms, and they sent us, long story, they admitted him into Guy's hospital to have tests, and we were called up there first thing in the morning to go and talk to the doctors. And so we went there, and I remember we had to wait outside the doctor's office just for a few minutes because he was inside on the phone. I could see him through the glass door. And looking at this, I thought, that reminds me of something. What does that remind me of? And suddenly I remembered my dream. Now, what I didn't tell you was that when I woke up from that dream, and I didn't remember it straight away, but Roger and I, we were reading a psalm a day. And so when we opened the psalms, we were reading Psalm 41 that morning. We just come to it. And in it, it says, they say, this is in the RSV version, they say a deadly thing is fastened upon him. He won't rise again from where he lies. And then it goes on, but I know you're pleased with me that my enemy does not triumph over me. It's this kind. It's all about healing. It's about affliction. It's about overcoming the enemy. And when we read it, when it said a deadly thing is fastened upon him, I said, "Oh, hang on, Roger, that's... where have I heard that before? I've heard that before just recently." I said, "Oh, it was my dream. I dreamt it in the dream that they'd said that to me." So that set me looking in the scriptures. And so I didn't know what to make of it. Nobody was ill at the time. And the dream didn't actually at that point mention Kristen, although you could see some analogy or some symbolism in the fact that the snake attached to my heel. And you know, the serpent bruises... no. Eve was to bruise the serpent's head, or her seed was to bruise the serpent's head. Sorry, I'm getting confused here. But the serpent will be crushed. Anyway, you know the bit. I can't think straight at the moment. Anyway, so it could have been an allusion to offspring. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's actually true of dreams too. Often in the picture, a child. Yes, a child. Yes, there was that as well. So what happens with dreams is often they are cloaked in parable, in symbolism. So it's not always exactly what you see that's being actually your dream is about. That's how we have to learn to listen to God and how to understand what he's saying in dreams, if he's saying it. So we'll come to that in a moment. Anyway, long story, when I saw this doctor, and I knew that then, by this time I remembered my dream clearly, and I thought, oh, God told us this a year ago, that something was going to happen. But in it, he told us that he was going to overcome, and therefore, Lord, that's what I'm laying hold of. So, and in fact, I couldn't wait to get out of the doctor's office to get my Bible, because I hadn't brought it with me, to look it up. And I remember him saying, "I don't think you're really taking this in, what I'm saying, because it's very serious." And I thought, "I am, but I want to get my Bible, because God has already said something." And God wonderfully healed him, you know that. And so, dreams. I could tell you lots more, but I won't bore you with them. But sometimes, if you're a prophetic person, you see, you might get prophetic dreams. And I know I've had those. And it took me a while before I always understood that I needed to listen to them and ask God if there was any response I needed to make. If I had a dream like the one I had about this snake now, I would immediately call one or two trusted prayer friends and pray over it to resist the enemy. But I didn't know that then. So sometimes we just take everything that comes as if it's just going to happen anyway, but it isn't. And I think we have to be willing to see some things as warnings we should stand against. So let me just jump down there. So where do dreams come from? Okay. Well, First of all, dreams can come from your own flesh, from your own human nature. They can come, they can, you know, the kind of dreams you sometimes have, all confused. The traditional thing, you had too much cheese for supper. But, you know, well, what happens is the flesh, the body is a little bit, you know, not quite at ease. And so sometimes confused dreams will come, won't they? They don't really make a lot of sense, but they're probably due to the disturbance in your physical state. Maybe what you've eaten or whatever. Or it might be disturbance in your emotional state because you're worried about something. And when you're worried about something, you know, you often have dreams about it, don't you? I had a dream once. I was going to do a meeting in East Anglia and I had to go up there in the evening and somebody volunteered to drive me to the station where I was catching the train there. And for some reason, I don't know how it happened, but she found out from the office where she was going. She got the wrong station. I'm just trying to remember. I think we should have gone to Liverpool Street, and she drove me to St. Pancras. And it also took a long while to get there. And so in the end, I had to jump out of the car, run to St. Pancras, get a train to Liverpool Street, get on there, and then find it. And I just missed my train. Which was a bit disastrous. I did get up on a later one, and I managed to do something with this group that had just had to worship for an hour, you know. But the thing was, the night before, I'd had a dream that I was kind of running around London looking for my train, and that, you know, that it was all very pressured. But when I woke up, I thought, I obviously must be worried about it. I didn't realize I was worried about this, I thought. But it wasn't that. It was, I think, again, my spirit was picking up that the enemy was trying to stop me going, which I'm sure was what it was. Anyway, I got there in the end. So sometimes dreams come from our anxieties, and that they can, you know, you fail the exam, or you miss your bus, or whatever. Those things come in because we're slightly anxious. But it may be that we have never been healed of past trauma, and therefore the enemy brings the trauma back. He can bring it back even if we have had a lot of healing. And I think if traumas come and we keep dreaming about a thing, we should seek to pray with others. I remember one of our leaders' conferences a few years back now, but we had a word that somebody had dreamt about something two or three times the previous week. And it was something that had not been resolved, and God wanted to bring some resolution. And this person came forward to say, that's exactly my situation. He had quite a crisis with his family, and he'd had dreamt about it three times the previous week, just coming in each time waking, feeling disturbed. So we were able to start to pray into that seriously, to remove that oppression and anxiety. So the flesh, the mind, the emotions, the body, they can produce dreams. And those dreams, we just need to be aware that I feel pressured. You know, maybe if it's an anxiety dream, well, Lord, just give me peace for this. If it's a recurring trauma dream, well, then receiving healing for that. Then there's also, we can also receive dreams from our own spirit. Now, what that means is, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, okay, this is not necessarily a direct dream from God, but it's a little bit like, you know, you might be, let's say you're a prophetic person, you might have discernment about a situation, you've not even logged it in your mind, but you're just discerning what's there, and then you dream about it. You can say that's from God, but often it's your own spirit discerning what's happening around you, especially if your spirit is, if you're constantly giving your spirit to the Holy Spirit and asking Him to fill you, then you're more likely to see it correctly. And when those things happen, sometimes we say, well, God spoke through it. And I think God does speak through those things. But we need to be aware that sometimes it's our spirit. And if our spirit is a little bit heavy, we might see it slightly more weighted. Do you see what I'm saying? It may not all be God. But if we're seeking to be people filled with the Holy Spirit, then we want to know that if God speaks, we'll recognize it's Him, because that's the next place it comes from, is God Himself. God gives us dreams sometimes, doesn't He? And in those dreams, He shows us what's there and what we need to do. I've had lots of dreams over the years where God has really spoken to me, and it's changed my life in many ways. I used to be very fearful of the enemy, of Satan, and what he could do, because we were, after all, in frontline ministry in London, and there were lots of oppressions, before our son got ill. And one day I had a dream that I was in a meeting, and somehow or other, or it was a group of people, and somehow somebody had loosed a scorpion, and this thing, as you know, was running around, scuttling around, and in my dream I had no shoes on, and this thing started running at me, and so I was backing off like this, and it continued to run, and so I turned around and ran in my dream because I was frightened of it. And this thing, and every now and then I'd look over my shoulder and see it was still coming after me, only it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it became like a big wild animal. And it was coming after me, and I was calling out, God, help me, help me. I'd started off, you see, when it had run, by saying, I can't do anything about it because I've got no shoes on. I can't even tread on it. So, and then I'd run, and then it was coming after me. It was getting bigger and bigger, and I'd say, Lord, help me. And God in my dream said to me, turn round and face it. And I said, I can't, it'll kill me. And the Lord said, turn round and face it. And in the end, I thought, I have to do it. So I turned round, a bit nervously, and I just put up my hand and said, no, like that. And this thing, in mid-air, just sort of bounced back and then tore off in the opposite direction. And then, as I woke up, there was a voice in my ears saying, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That was a very major time in my life when God spoke to me the truth of his word directly through a dream. Sometimes God wants to say so much more to us than we ever expect or imagine. And so that was just one of the many things. Of course, another place the dreams come from is the enemy. I've already made reference to that in my illustrations, that sometimes the enemy gives a person a dream, and because he wants them to take it on board, or he wants them to share it. Even better to share it, because then their own sharing adds to the power of it, doesn't it, if it's the enemy? And so we need to be discerning people. And also, if we get a negative dream, sometimes you can tell where it's from, because when you wake up, how do you feel? If you feel the peace of Jesus, if you feel, Lord Jesus, thank you, I trust you, then maybe you are not being directly oppressed by the enemy. But very often those dreams leave you waking up thinking, oh my goodness. And often the first thing is, who can I tell about this? Or where shall I share this? Because it's so awful. But that's when we have to stop and say, I need to. It's okay to share it, but only with people who are pastoral, prophetic, who are leaders, who know what to do with those kind of dreams. That's the important thing, not with people who might be damaged by sharing it. Well, I haven't time to go into more. There's so many dreams. I think about dreams our children have had over the years. Sometimes children will have dreams, very vivid dreams. We should always listen to them, because you can often hear what the Lord is doing and what the enemy is doing in their lives or oppressing them with. Let's listen to the Lord. Some people, children or adults, have got very sensitive spirits, and therefore they pick things up much more rapidly. If you're one of those, you're more likely to have dreams, but that's why you need to have some good theology inside you as to how to deal with it. You need to be strong in the spirit so that you don't just go under. Don't just, you know, feel flattened by the dreams, but begin to work at them with God so that you learn to discern what's of the Lord and what's of the enemy and what's just of your own flesh, your own humanity. Okay? Well, I think I should stop there, and I'm going to pray for us. But what I wanted to say was that I felt there will be people here tonight who've had dreams that have troubled you, or you haven't really understood them. And I've already said to Abby and Debbie, Roger, anyone else, any of the leaders, Martin, he may be still winding up the meeting, but we would be glad to pray with you, to pray for insight and revelation, to know whether we just toss this dream into the stream of God's grace and goodness and be free of it, or whether we've got to really resist the enemy's activity, or whether we've got to embrace what God is saying. I didn't tell you some of the dreams I've had about my own life and ministry over the years. I've had very vivid ones, right back in the beginning, one just after we were married. And God gave me a very vivid dream. And it was to do with me being drawn into a battle, being given a sword and fighting. And then at one point, I had a lovely bit of this dream. I always thought it was relating to the training that we have done. But in the dream, doesn't sound lovely at first, but we were on this battlefield, you see, and I'd been right on the front line. And then I saw a tent nearby in the dream. And when I went in, it had a lot of wounded soldiers in various ways. They needed patching up. And so Roger, magnificent person that he is, in my dream, he lay down, and I took skin grafts from Roger in the dream, believe it or not, and put them on the people, you see. Naturally, I'm able to do that in a human level. But and so he was wide awake. He was alive, but he was just allowing it. And when I woke up, I thought, how bizarre. What was that about? And then I thought, it's about grafting on some of the gifting and some of the theological understanding, all those things, onto other people. And I think over the years, I've often helped Roger do that with people. So praise God. But that was right back. You know, we've been married 51 years. That's a long while. And I had that dream right in the first year. It was like God was saying to me, I'm going to use you in various ways. Don't forget the dream. I can remember every bit of that dream. I haven't told you all of it. But and I think sometimes God does that when he wants to do something with your life. So let's be open to him. Lord, we just bring ourselves to you now, Lord. And for all of us, Lord, you've said that in the new age of your spirit, Lord, that you will pour out your spirit on all flesh, that you will give dreams and visions to your people, that you will prophesy through your sons and daughters. And Lord, I thank you. There is a whole prophetic stream in the Spirit of God that, Lord, we want to be involved with. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit may just activate and totally empower the spiritual flow of prophecy amongst us. And Lord, I pray for individuals. I ask that all of us may be wise in God, not to lay hold on dross, on useless things, Lord, but rather to seek to hear the gold and silver of your words, Lord, that we may be able to share them with others and that we may be able to use them to pray effectively for those who come into our dreams. I just recalled, as I said, that somebody just a few days ago asked me to pray about a dream, and it was about their congregation. But what I did feel was that Lord was wonderfully overcoming the issue that was there. But I said to that person, pray for every person from your congregation that you saw in your dream. Don't tell them. Just pray for them, because it was a situation where they were all in danger. And I just think it was he was picking up the enemy's oppression against the congregation. So, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to stand against the enemy, to guard one another, and most of all, to make more and more room for your beautiful spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Faith. Bless you. We're going to spend some time to allow a time of ministry. I've asked Ben and the band to quietly play some worship music in the background to allow opportunity for those who would like to come and be ministered to, particularly in the areas of the dreams where we've had words spoken to you that have locked in and left you in fear for however long time it is. Also, I want to offer also those who have regular nightmares or bad dreams on a regular basis. We would like to minister to you on that level as well. So please feel free to come forward and receive ministry, and where we will lay hands on you and pray over you. So let's just stand together and let's just lift up the Lord Jesus. If you want to leave at this stage, please feel free. But we're going to spend just a little bit of time just to allow the Lord to minister through worship and the ministry team, and if congregational leaders, house group leaders, and those who usually minister a celebration, make yourself available to come and pray and lay hands on people. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The team come forward, ministry team, and anybody else who wants ministry, please come forward.